We are going to continue this worship with music, because this whole day is a day of worship, isn't that right? It is a day set aside. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and we will start up. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I do thank you for the blue sky. I thank you for the crisp air that wakes us up and knows and tells us that we're alive and we're happy to be alive, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your saving grace this day. Lord, it is our desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father God, I pray for those that are still traveling this morning that you would protect them. Pray for peace in their cars. Pray for those that are not able to be with us today, wherever they are, Lord Jesus. We just pray that you would touch them and meet their needs, meet them right where they are. Lord Jesus, we pray for all the other bodies across the nation and across the world that are worshiping you this day on Sunday, those that are doing it in public and those that are doing it in private and secret. Lord Jesus, we pray for safety. We pray for a supernatural touch of the Holy Spirit to be upon them this day. Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we praise you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, in your name, in your name. Everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen. Well, this morning we're going to start out by trading our sorrows for God, Lord Jesus. Trading our pain. And in order to make it through this song, it's gonna require a little bit of clapping, and it's going to require a little bit of swaying and just kind of shaking it off and getting loosened up a little bit. So why don't we all stand? And Maestro, let's cue the music and get started. We're trading our sorrows. There we go. That's it. Here we go.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Who's saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, 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 Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. Joy's gonna be my strength. Though sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. We're saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. This is going to get in our spirit.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen,
amen.
I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed promise will endure. Joy is going to be my strength. Though sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for joy of the my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. La 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 la. You just have to smile. I mean, what else can you do? Come on, la la. La 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 la. Amen. All right. I think we'll do it again. Here we go. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm trading my sorrows. Whoops. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. La 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 la.
Amen, amen, amen. That's a turn around, shake somebody's hand, smile at somebody. That's what it is. It's la la, you know. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's right. This is Home Fellowship Church, and we are fellowshipping. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to slow it down a little bit, and we're going to go to Here I Am to Worship. So go ahead, George.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Oh, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether wonderful to me. us in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became whole. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say, sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never
Jesus, as the deer. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. you, Lord Jesus. That is our desire, is to worship you, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We worship you. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isn't that right? Why don't we get going?
Garland instead of ashes.
This is the year of the Lord. You know, I love that scripture verse because it really just shows what the Lord's heart is all about for us. And I love that. I was a captive to sin and bondage to it, and God came and supernaturally gave me new life and new purpose. And I think about every day I wasted. Didn't get saved till I was about 30 years old before God really gripped my heart. Some of you older when you got saved, when you really gave it over to the Lord. Some of you precious people are younger when you really started following the Lord. What a blessing you have. What an opportunity you have to really seek the Lord while he may be found. Especially in these last days when the world's all going one direction. Little tsunami of thought and of direction. It's just all flowing one way. And then there's Jesus saying, I know it's all going this way, but I want you to come follow me this way. And so I want to encourage you, take stock in your life and in your time. Think about it. Your days are numbered. They're all like a vapor, right? Isn't that true? That's what the Bible says. Here today, gone tomorrow. So allow the Lord to do a supernatural work. He's given you, he's raised you up for such a time as this. He hasn't just raised you up to sit around on your keister, right? He wants you to be at work, to be busy, to seek him, to find him, to seek him with all your heart. And I wish, if there was something I could take, a little, you know, caffeine shot or something to jazz me up, to jazz you up, I would do it. If I could pay money and just say, hey, all right, 10 grand, and today God's going to change. I would do that, but I can't. I can just simply present to you what the Word says, what the Holy Spirit says, and you have to take that into your heart and accept it or reject it, what God has for you. And man, the enemy would like nothing better than to just keep you down, keep you discouraged, keep you depressed, keep you distracted. From what he wants you to do. Everything. So let's just go and go to him in prayer this morning, even before announcements, even before we start talking about Ephesians 6 as we're zipping through this spiritual warfare one verse a week. But Lord, we just want to say, man, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, thank you for saving me, Lord. What an idiot I was for so long. What a wasted time and life and effort and gifts, personality. Lord, I just squandered all that you gave me for so many years. How foolish, how wretched, how sinful, how selfish I was, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How selfish I am apart from you, Lord. But Lord, because of you, I can do all things. I see things new. Lord, I see things afresh. Lord, your Holy Spirit has given me new life and new sight and new purpose, Lord. Thank you. Let me walk in that. Let my friends hear. Lord, walk in that purpose, Lord. Not so easily blown around by every wind of the world or wind of doctrine or Satan's bait this way or that way. But help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you, for you're the starter and you're the finisher, the author and perfecter of our faith, Lord God. And for all those right now who have been kept away, Lord God, just because the enemy just doesn't want them to hear this stuff, Lord God. Oh, Lord. Lord, will you speak to their hearts even now, Lord? Will your Holy Spirit guard this place and guard these people, Lord God? And Lord, will you allow your word to go in fertile soil, Lord God? Clear the rocks, clear the thoughts, clear the distractions, and plant them deep, Lord, that may sprout up and bear fruit, Lord. 30, 60, or 100 fold. We ask this right now by the power of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Yes, sir.
That this morning in prayer time, that was the scripture that Gary brought to the table, the one that the Lord had me read to the church. As we were in praise and worship and all that, the Lord spoke to my heart and he says, Mark, I want you to share that scripture that you guys had at prayer time for the whole church. That's what I did when I came. And I want them to know it. I want them to hear it. And I want them to experience it.
Yes.
So that's where that came from. And it was just my privilege to be the voice.
That's awesome. And it's good to know, too, because sometimes I think people think, well, even maybe at other places, maybe you just say things because it works or it seems like the right thing there. And that's not the reason why we're saying this. We're saying it because the Lord's leading us to say those things and to pray those things. Absolutely right. All right, we have a few announcements to go through, and I don't even remember. Speaking of spiritual warfare, my computer crashed again.
Oh, wow.
Last night, totally froze up, and wouldn't start till 5:15 in the morning. So we'll see how we're doing. So I'm scrambling at 5:15 in the morning, but the Lord will have it under control. His word will be taught anyway. So let's just see. I don't know what slides made it and what slides didn't. No, you know what? I will tell you something, Nate. That's funny you should say that. Since we're talking about spiritual warfare, the computer is fantastic. I almost never have any crashes on the computer, any hiccups, any breakdowns all during the week, almost never, except on a Saturday night or a Sunday as I'm working on this stuff. That's when it all crashes every time. And that's a part of a little picture of what it's like to have spiritual warfare. It's not just that the computer happens to go out at that time like clockwork every few weeks. It doesn't work like that. It's a lot of times it's the enemy at work. Just getting things frustrated gets you off track. That's what he does. That's his purpose. So thank you for that. We do have some bread in the back, some bread loaves if you want, in Jesus' name, I think, if they were ever taken out of the van. Oh, excellent, excellent. And so you guys know you can put tithes and offerings in the back. We won't use it for a new computer for me. But you are welcome to put those tithes and offerings in the back. If you guys would, just pray for Holy Smoke Barbecue next weekend, right? Next weekend, next Sunday, they'll be going out and doing a bunch of the guys from our church and gals are going to be going out there and serving up lots of food, cooking food. They've been doing it, even preparing now. And it's all to benefit Solve House. And so if you would just pray for them, that God would bless it and help all the things to go right, it would be greatly appreciated. Solve House is another good organization that helps women who decided to have their babies instead of have abortion or something like that. Yeah, it's like a residential home. They have different homes where they can go and live and have babies and Bible studies and things like that. Yes? You can throw whatever you want as long as it's not a rotten tomato. Yes, you can throw a pie as well.
It's about Solve. Every October, there's a pumpkin festival at Hunt Seder's, and we have Susan Arnold, who's a sister in Christ, that she heads a booth, a couple different games, and it's $1 per game, and all proceeds 100% go to Solve. And we were there yesterday as volunteers, and there was this man that comes with three daughters, and he was looking at the brochures, and he was teary-eyed. He asked his daughters if they knew what that was. And so I explained to them a little bit what Solve does. And then he, tears in his eyes, he says, two of my daughters were adopted from there. And then he donated some money. But this place, they're Christ-centered. They,
praise the Lord.
Like you said, they lift up girls from the streets that maybe were abandoned by their parents or were pushing abortion and they did not want to abort. And they'll house these girls and take care of their babies and
that's awesome.
Take care of them for a future.
That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Also, too, just a little fundraiser for Shepherd's Heart Christian School. There are some fresh Der Dutchman pies. Did I spell that right? In Sarasota, Der Dutchman. Anyway, the Amish place. There's a little booth out front, and you can grab a pie if you'd like there and order one. Was it little vouchers?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that would be a good... Yes. Yes. And there's a good chance if it went by me that many of them wouldn't make it to the destination. All right. Okay, so just a couple things. We have a men's Bible study the first and third Tuesday at 6 p.m. Gary leads that. Gary, anything you want to say with that?
No, we're not. This is the fifth Tuesday, so we're not meeting.
Yep, okay. And then also coming up, we have a woman's Bible study. Woo-hoo! And it's going to be the second Tuesday each month, 6:30 to 8. And I think you can call Erica or Gary. I should put Erica's number on there, too, for more information. And one of the two of you want to say, Gary, you want to say something this week and then have Erica say something next week? Because you won't be here. You'll be pulling pork. All right, go ahead, Erica. She's like, don't throw me under the bus.
We didn't talk about this ahead of time.
Well, that's how we roll, baby. It's how we roll.
Yeah, so we're excited. Gary and I are going to work together and lead the ladies' Bible study. We're going to go through the book of Ephesians. Okay. So the book of Ephesians is just a really neat book. I've been really delving in a lot for the past 2 weeks especially. And it's full of all kinds of really cool promises. And why Ephesians?
Yeah, if you don't mention it, I'm going to mention it. I heard it too. Gary told me. Now, Gary,
do you want me
to
tell that story?
No, go if you want. Yeah, go.
I think it's a great story.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, so Gary and I have been talking about doing this for probably a month now, and he had a couple books in mind, and he said, would you just go away and pray about it and let me know what you think? And I came back, and I said, I'm not really sure. I'm not really feeling either of those books. And he said, well, actually, I feel like the Lord's taken me in another direction. You pray about that and see what you think. And I spent that whole week in prayer and study. And I just said, okay, Gary, I'm just going to throw this out there. I have 66 books to choose from. I'm supposed to pick the one book that you are feeling, the Lord. And, of course, in God's great way, it was the same book of the Bible, which was Ephesians. So it was really awesome. Cool confirmation that this is the right book. And I have been really digging into Ephesians, and it has a lot of really neat promises and very faith-building, spiritual warfare, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, it'll be here. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. For now.
Yes.
For now.
If you want to volunteer to start doing stuff, maybe you can help that to go out. We'll see you. Okay. So we also have the youth group. I think there's a Wednesdays and 6:30, 8:30. I think that there's a youth conference this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. We had a youth conference last weekend, and there's our little posse there, the Morton Words Youth Conference. It was so cute. We saw Natalie there. We saw a bunch of others. We saw... Yes, we did see Olivia too. I'm sorry. And we saw Jonathan and Skylar and Jacob and a bunch of them. Anybody else I forgot? The traitors. Okay, so we're talking about spiritual warfare, and we've been talking about just trying to be balanced in our approach to spiritual warfare. There are some folks that will, every time they have a flat tire, it's the demon of flat tires. Every time they lose a job, it's spiritual warfare. They don't think, I lost my job because I'm a bad worker. I'm complaining all the time. I'm late for work every morning. I'm a jerk. We have to take personal responsibility and understand that some sin is, we got to own it. It's not the devil made me do everything. Sometimes it's our own fleshly, selfish, self-centered, self-serving desires, and the enemy has nothing to do with it. And you need to take personal responsibility. I need to take personal responsibility. However, there's a whole other dynamic that goes on. There's an invisible war, we talked about it, where there is demonic forces at work. We're going to talk more about that today, where, man, that you see it throughout the Bible, where there are these forces at work that is causing havoc and wreaking havoc. What's the percentage? I have no idea. But it's a big percentage. So we have to be aware that both things exist. So when we're talking about in the invisible war, whatever believer needs to know about Satan and demons and spiritual warfare, the bottom line is, number one, it's real. Number two, you're in it, whether you want to be in it or not. And number three, the enemy is strong and cunning. So you have to rely on the Lord. We talked about in Ephesians 6:10, where it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You can't go up against these demonic forces on your own, or you're going to get smacked down. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. Paul needed Jesus. The disciples needed. Okay, you get the point, right? Okay? We talked about the devil using three forces that work together to bring you down. First, it's the world. Again, the world system. Everything is going that direction, is going the enemy's way. It's under the control of Satan. And so is what it says in Scripture. That he's, you know, the prince of this world. And so he's pushing everything in that direction. So whether it's politics, whether it's news, whether it's culture, most of that is going one direction. And that's Satan's direction, because he wants to think, everybody to think his way and go his way. Okay? But not only do we have that, we have the world, the culture, we also have our flesh, Romans 7 says. And our flesh is deceitfully, our heart's wicked. We want what we want. We can be selfish. And so we can sin there. And then we have the devil. And he's taken us in a certain direction. Probably not the devil himself, but more his henchmen, his demons. All right, I skipped a lot of stuff. We talked about knowing our enemy. We talked about the devil last week, about the devil being real. We talked about demons being real. We went through all the scriptures. We talked about knowing Satan's names, because each of those names reveal his tactics. We went all over that in detail last week. Somebody said they listened to, not last week, the week before, they listened to this particular teaching 34 times. I said, man, you're a glutton for punishment. Not only that, but Satan attacks God's plan by false doctrines and false philosophies, false religion, false disciples, and so on and so forth. We went through all that. Also, Satan attacks God's people by directing governments, deceiving people, destroying lives, preventing serving, promoting division, placing doubt in your mind. And the list goes on and on, let alone provoking sin, our own sin from our own hearts. And what he uses most is pride and division. We talked about, though, with Christ, when we get saved, okay, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, right? Nothing but the blood cleanses us from how much of our sin? All of it, past, present, and future. Who would not want that, right? Such a deal. God has given up everything so that anyone who would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Yet there's a lot of folks out there like, you know, I just don't want that. I'm just going to go my own way. And I think, oh my goodness. Like, I want to scream. Like, inside I'm like, okay, maybe you should pray about that. But inside I'm going, oh my God, no. That's what I'm doing on the inside. And I'm crying out to the Lord for salvation for you. But Satan and his demons are already ultimately defeated. We talked about that, right? It says that even in John, when Jesus was going to the cross, he says that the prince of this world was cast out because he took care of every sin on the cross, and he'll draw everyone to himself. In fact, hell is originally prepared for the devil and his angels. The only people that go there are people that don't want to follow Jesus Christ. He's not going to make you. You don't have to follow him. You can go your own way, and you can follow your own way, which is the way the world's going, which is the broad way straight to hell. Or you can go the narrow way and follow Jesus. It's up to you. I love that picture. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And you remember that word in Hebrew means to be ultimately successful. Okay? Jesus already destroyed the works of the devil. We talked about that. Through Jesus, you do have the power to resist and overcome the devil and demonic forces, right? The Bible says, submit yourselves to God. That's not easy to do if we're selfish. Unless we're walking with the Lord, we have to submit ourselves to him and to his word. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. That's his promise. He says you could overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. God wanted to be so close to you and empower you so much that he didn't just want to be with you. He wanted to be in you. Amen. That's awesome. And yes, you were raising your hand, Debbie. I'm so sorry.
When you tell the devil to leave you, does he continue to stay away, or do you have to keep doing this over and over?
That's a fantastic question. If you can give me a little bit of time to get to today's teaching, if I don't answer that question for you, bring it up at the end. Okay? It's a great question.
If she doesn't, I will.
Okay. And because of Jesus, we have victory over sin and Satan. Because of Jesus, I should have wrote, we have victory. Okay, you get the idea. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Trusting in Jesus, trusting in his word, right? Not the culture. And who can win this battle against the world? Only that believes, those who believe Jesus is the Son of God. And if you believe it, you'll live it. Don't tell me you're a Christian with your words. You'll see it through your life. Isn't that true? I know my kids love me because I can see it. Not just with their words, but in their actions. All right. Then it says in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armor of God, just like we would put on clothes this morning. I put on this shirt that says, thank you, Lord. I am a life that has changed. We put on the armor of God. We'll talk about that maybe today. Maybe. And then we talked about standing firm in the faith, standing up for our faith, standing out so we don't look like the world, and standing firm so that the enemy can't push us around. And finally, we said to put on the full armor of God because the devil is scheming against us. And so, and that those words schemes, he's plotting, he's tricking. That's what that Greek word means. And so that's what he's doing. He is trying to take you down. All right? So here we are, all the way in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm just going to have somebody read three verses for me. Because I didn't get very far. We're supposed to be doing Ephesians 6 to 10. And every time I try to do 10 verses, I get through one verse. So a few weeks ago, it was Ephesians 6, 10. And then it was Ephesians 6, 11. And I'm hoping to get through Ephesians 6, 12. And we'll see if we can go beyond there. But if somebody wouldn't mind reading just Ephesians 6, let's say 10 through 10, 11, and 12. Who would do that, please, for us? Or we'll just sit here and you can awkwardly stare at me. Okay. Run right here, sweetie. Yep. As I grab my Bible. Thank you. Good job, Sof.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Amen. Good. So, you guys see up here what I have. I started off with Patton versus Rommel. Now, you guys might be aware, if you know history, of these folks. Patton was the commander general, one of the generals of the U.S. forces, and Erwin Rommel was a general in the Hitler's army, and actually he got promoted to field marshal because he was so victorious wherever he went, and he had panzer tanks, and he was a great, brilliant military tactician, and what he would do, he wrote books on it, on infantry tactics and panzer tactics and all this stuff, and he was brilliant, and so he sent him to Africa, and he was winning all over the place against Montgomery and the British forces, and so one of the reasons, though, when America entered the war and Patton first attacked Rommel, the Americans were inexperienced, and they got defeated by Rommel, and so what happened was, according to tradition, was that Patton read the tactician book, Rommel's book. It's Infantry Tactics, is it's published. And he read the book. If you ever seen the movie Patton, I don't know if some of you guys might have seen it. He says, you know, Rommel, you glorious blankety blank, I read your book. And so as they go to attack, And so one of the reasons why he was successful against Rommel is because he studied the tactics of the enemy. In that same way, we have to be wise and study the tactics of our enemy. Now, we don't want to be, and I wrote this down because there's a fine line here with some of this stuff. And so I wrote this down so I could just make sure that we must be aware of the enemy, but not focused on him. Do you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times Christians can be so aware, that's all they think about. It's the enemy, the enemy, the enemy, the enemy. No, you need to be focused on your commander-in-chief. Be aware that he's working, aware that he's around. But remember, your strength and power comes from the Lord. So your main focus is on him. We also must recognize the power of the enemy. Okay, he's not somebody, devil, I kick you in the face, I slap you around, I throw you out the door. No, he is powerful. We went over this last week. Even Michael the archangel said, the Lord rebuke you. But we must not fear him because we're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're not saved here today and you're not really walking with him, you should be afraid. I'm just being honest. You are an open vessel for him to work in and through. See, but because for those who are saved, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And see, God doesn't share the real estate. I am bought and blood. The Bible says I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. I'm not going to timeshare with Satan. So I'm bought. I was bought with a price. So it's good to recognize the power of the enemy, but not to fear him, because that's what he wants you to do. The enemy wants you to be so, because he is powerful, but he wants you just, oh, if you can live in that fear. You don't have to be afraid, because you know what? I don't know if you used to do this as a kid, but as I was a kid, you know, if we were getting a little kid, well, my dad can beat up your dad. Oh, yeah, you know what? My dad can beat up the enemy's dad. I remember I had a friend by the name of Carl. He got saved in prison. I remember one time, gosh, I didn't plan any of this. Yeah, we're going to get through a verse. I remember one time at this particular prison, there was this guy, Iron Mike or Iron Fist. Anyway, maybe that was the... I'm watching too much Netflix. Anyway, I think he really was called Iron Mike or Iron. Anyway, he was kind of one of these guys that ruled the prison. There's like its own little workings. Yeah. And so what he did was he went, there's this little common area where the Christians would meet in chapel, and you reserve it. And so what happened is they reserved it for them. And he went in there and said he wanted it now. And so one of the Christians, an older guy, went up and said, I'm sorry, you know, Iron Mike, we had reserved this with the prison, you know, like weeks ago for today. And we'll be out soon, but then you could have it right after. And he said, Carlos, I watched this guy hit this man so hard that his head... Actually, he was standing still. It lifted him off of the ground. His head, it went like sideways into the wall. Poof, and then he collapsed on the ground. And they had to call. I don't remember if he survived or not. But he hit him so easy. I've never seen a man hit a person so hard that it actually lifted him. He flew off and his head hit the wall. And he just collapsed. And so the warden gathered everybody in here. Of course, and he said, who did this? And everybody was too afraid. Nobody messes with, you know, Iron Mike. And so nobody would say anything. And finally he said, I just felt like the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, you need to be honest here. So he goes, yes, sir, it was Iron Mike. And this is something you just don't do in prison. You just don't do that. And he said, it was Iron Mike. And he did it in front of him, you know, so it wasn't, he said... he was real nice. He told him the story, and he hit so hard, so he got solitary. Anyway, as the months went by, of course, he got out of solitary, and stuff like that's not forgotten in prison. That's right. And he said he remembers he came out of this other chapel area. It was at night, And there's a small, short window area that's not really seen by the guards. And it's a very short walk, you know, a little like a little outside hallway type of thing, area. And he said, I came out, and he goes, there's Iron Mike at the end. And there's about a dozen guys all in their little coats. And he goes, when they wear the long coats, they have these things called, shanks, thank you. Which I guess are just like shivs, shanks, something like that. They're just sharp pieces of whatever, anything that they can get to stab you. And he said, you did something you can never do. You can never, rat, you know, go against Iron Mike. And so that you could see them all. They're all like this. They're all ready for him to walk through. And he was just scared. And this guy Carl was a pretty bad dude. I won't tell you, but he was. But you got a dozen guys, prison guys, with him at the end. And he just stopped and he prayed. And he said he just felt the Holy Spirit come upon him. And he said, you know what? He said, you aren't going to do nothing to me. He said, you're not going to do anything to me unless my Father gives your Father permission. And he said, I stood up straight and I just walked very slow right through each one of them. And you could just see them. They're all like, all 12 of them, all the way down the row to Big Mike, or Iron Mike, whatever his name is. And he said, finally, at the very end, he moved out of the way and he let him pass. He said, when I got back to my cell, he said, honestly, I broke down. I was crying. He's like, I was so. And then he said that his cellmate said, yeah, that they were going to kill him. That was the word, that he was never going to make it out. And he said, so the next day he was walking and then there was a surprise meeting. And he's like, there was Iron Mike. And he said, they called him Preacher Man. He's like, Iron Mike, I don't want any trouble, you know. And he's like, I don't want any trouble either, Preacher Man. He's like, my mama was a Pentecostal. And I know that power. I don't want nothing of it. You and me, we're square. We're good. We're good. We're good. And he went about his business and he was never bothered again. I say all that simply to say that our God is bigger than whatever is out there, whatever demonic forces may be working against you. Your dad is bigger than that. Does that make sense? This verse is pretty jam-packed. And so if we can turn the light just for a second. Poor Chris. Ephesians 6:12. Everybody have a Bible? If you don't, raise your hand and Chris will kindly bring one to you. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read the verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this. Says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in heavenly realms. So the first thing I notice, it says in the Bible in verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says for our struggle. Or some of your Bibles say, or we wrestle. Isn't it right? We or our, right? That first thing that tells me is that we all go through it. Do you know what I'm trying to say to you? Here's one thing. It's our struggle. All of us have to go through this. If you're a Christian here following Jesus, we're all going to go through it. Here's what the enemy wants you to think, right? He's got a lot of ammo, but his two main things are pride, right? He wants to always do that. And division. So he wants to divide you from anything that's good and godly. He'll do whatever it takes. I can't believe the pastor. Somebody didn't like that. Anyway, I shouldn't even say that. You wear a t-shirt to church? Yes, I do. You have couches and bar stools and cafe tables? Yes. I'm not going to go there. Well, you have discussion and let people talk? Yes, we do. Well, that's not the church. The enemy will use absolutely anything I'm not kidding you. Anything to move you away, he wants to divide you. And so I say all this to say, whether you're being tempted by some sin, the Bible wants you to think you're the only one. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if you're having lustful thoughts, think, oh my gosh, I am such, some popping in your head. I am such a terrible worm of a Christian. I can't go to that church. They're all really spiritual. That's what he wants you to do. Or you think, oh, no one's going through. I'm having a fight with my wife. I'm having marital problems. No one has marital problems like I have marital problems. Because everybody else is such perfect Christian couples. Lie. So you can't tell anybody, right? You can't tell the problems that you have, right? He wants to separate you. He wants you to shut up, not pray, not tell anyone. That's what he wants you to do. But we all struggle with the same things. So don't listen to the enemy and have him divide you and run away from the Lord and the Lord's people. Run to him and to his people. Does that make sense, guys? He will always try to divide you. I've got so many stories. I've got about a million stories about that. But I'll have to wait on that. The Bible says this, okay? We all suffer these things. If a temptation, if you could hit the lights for a second. This is in Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. In other words, what everybody goes through. So whatever temptation, whatever you think you're, whatever, everybody goes through it. But he says that God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Or the New Living Translation says more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So he'll either empower you to stand or he'll provide the way of escape. Does that make sense to you? But what you go through is what others have gone through. You are not alone. He always wants to make you feel alone. Think of what the enemy attacks, right? He references the devil as a prowling lion, right? The lion always attacks what? The weak ones, the weak animals that are maybe away from the herd, or the injured ones, right, that are hobbling behind, doesn't he? Or maybe the prideful gazelle who's like, well, I don't need the herd, I'm the stag, I'll go over here. I don't need these Bible studies, I don't need, wakoo! That's who he attacks. So stay close in with the word and in with the herd. Then it goes on to say in that Ephesians 6:12, it says, our struggle. Or do any of your Bibles say something different in Ephesians 6:12? What does it say? Wrestle. Yes, or we wrestle. Actually, the word in Greek is paule, and that's what it means. That's a better translation. I like struggle because that's real and that's good translation, but a better one is wrestle. And when we talk about wrestling, it's not this because this comes to mind for me. Nacho Libre! You know something? It's not this kind of theatrical wrestling that he's talking about, where you know everybody's blasting everybody at the same time. We're having one big massive, you know, giant fight together. When it says our struggle, what it means in Greek, paule, our is we all go through it, but the struggle paule in Greek is it's a wrestling match, but it's a personal one. It's more like, if you've seen like Olympic wrestling or college wrestling, we're one on one, okay? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and heavenly places in this dark world, okay? It's like that. It's the, you know, wrapped around the neck. It's fighting. It's wrestling. And it's personal. It's not corporate. Okay, we all go through it, but it's a personal battle. Does that make sense? That's what that Greek word paule, wrestle, struggle, personal. So that means that the enemy or his demonic, he wants to wrestle you away from the Lord. Okay? So that's what he's doing. Just picture it. He's wrestling with you. That's what he's trying to do, wrestling to get your attention, wrestling you to get angry or let that unforgiveness brood or to focus on, you know, Republican, Democrat instead of Jesus, whatever it is for you. He's wrestling. It's not a big civil war. Or we talked with Patton and Rommel. It's not the Allied forces versus the Axis forces, or it's not that, it's personal. So we have to remember that the enemy personally hates your guts, and he is personally trying to take you down. I like how the ESV puts this verse in 1 Peter. It says, be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So he is trying. He's coming after you. He's got plans for you. Now, again, you need to be aware of that, because if you're not, you're going to fall into the traps. You're going to be that prideful gazelle. You're going to be that straggler. You're going to be that whatever. So be aware of it, but you don't need to live in fear of it. Because if you stay close to the herd and close to God's word, he's going to protect you in that. There's protection in that. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So don't allow him to get you off by yourself, because he's going to attack that mind of yours. It's a personal enemy. The Bible says this, that the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, when I hear that kind of a verse, there are some people, there's a lot of people that preach that God wants you to be happy, that Jesus is a way for you just to be happy. So what, you know, true or false? God just wants me to be happy. Is that true?
The key word is just.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, does God want you to be happy?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. But is that his primary?
No.
What is his primary goal? Love the Lord with all your heart and soul, and love others as yourself. Follow him. Obey his word, right? But God, I have to get a divorce because God wants me to be happy. Well, I have to leave my kids and not spend time with them because I have to make this money and buy a boat because God wants me to be happy. Oh, I have to go over here. Maybe God wants me to, I have to leave the job because I'm just not happy there. God wants me to be happy. No, God wants you to follow him. Maybe he's got a mission for you with that job. Maybe he has a mission for you here. I don't know. Hezekiah, your hands are raised, so if we could run that microphone to you. Lickety spit. The lovely and talented llama girl will deliver it right to you.
Yeah. But if we're following God and stuff like that, it should bring us joy to do what he says.
Oh!
Like, if we're seeking the Lord and trying to see what he wants us to do, it should bring us joy when we do what he says. Like, even though it may look like it's bad in the beginning,
yes,
it all works out to something good. So.
Right. There's a verse. Lisa, do you have a verse for us? What is it?
One of the scriptures that the Lord always kind of throws at me whenever I feel discontented is the scripture verse, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So when we find ourselves, you know, frustrated and unhappy and our emotions are all over the place, he always reminds me that, well, what are you delighting in? What are you seeking after? What's your, and that's kind of what Hezekiah was talking about. You know, what is your heart set on? Maybe it's set on the wrong things. That's why you're being discontented and then why you're not feeling satisfied and why you're frustrated. Because, you know, truly, you know, we hear all these extreme stories on how somebody could be in so much joy and suffer so hard, such harsh things. And it's because sometimes God gives them the grace to really delight themselves in him at that moment. And something we need to pray for, you know, we need to ask the Lord, are we delighting in you? And it's a daily thing. It's a moment to moment thing.
Yes.
From our flesh to delighting in him.
Absolutely. That's a good word. Delight yourself in the Lord. So yes, so if you want to be happy, really, it's following the Lord. That brings me joy, you know, because if my mind's in the right spot. But we're not here. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. We're not here to be on a cruise ship. We're meant to be on a battleship. This is not a playground. This is a battleground, right? This is what Psalm 144:1 says. Praise to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. See, he didn't say, oh, praise the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for the swings and to play on the playground. No, he says, he trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He wants you to be in there, that fight, that wrestling, right? Does that make sense, guys? Or am I? Okay, yes, you have something to say? Did you pass that microphone right there? Thanks.
You made the comment about leaving a job, and I was in a job where my immediate boss screamed at me daily, and I kept saying, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I need to change jobs. And Lord says, no, this is where I want you. And it took 10 years. And what happened was that because of my walk and that I did what the Lord said, I was called into his office, and he asked me to pray for him.
Wow. Praise the Lord. See, you never know. I mean, you just don't know. But it's a battle. Now, maybe you could go. But the thing is, ask the Lord. But it's kind of convenient, isn't it? If you find someone who always does what they want to do, oh, it's the Lord! And then they fall flat on their face. You know it's not the Lord. Yeah, it's the Lord. He wants me to, you know, sleep with my boyfriend. That's a great idea. You don't even need to pray about that one. But you know, if it's a job or a struggle situation, pray. Ask the Lord, what does he want you to do? The focus is not on what makes you happy. What really the focus is, God, what makes you happy? I'm your servant, right? Either you serve him or you don't. Do you know what I'm saying? The Bible says in Psalm 18, 34, 35, again, he trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. 2 Timothy 2, 4 says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So here's the thing. The next time you're in a rough situation, whether it be at home or at work or at school or at finance, God, what do you want to do? It's your finances. These are your kids. You gave me this woman. You gave me this woman, Lord. You gave me this man, right?
That's what happened.
But you get the idea, Lord. What do you want me to do? The focus is always back to him. You are his vessel. You're his servant. You're his workmanship. You should always go back to what do you want me to do in this situation? What honors you in this situation? How can I please and glorify your name in this situation? That's what it all goes back to. It's not about you. It's not about your happiness. It's about him. It's not about the Macarena. All right. Man, I don't even know where my Bible is. That's not good. Okay, thank you. It is dying to yourself, yes. So it says, for our struggle, or we wrestle, not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. What does that mean, we wrestle not against flesh and blood? What do you think that means? People aren't your enemy. You know who's the enemy? The enemy! Just being serious. Now, people tick you off, right? They do. They tick me off a lot. But God wants you to see beyond that and realize who's influencing them. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 16, you remember a time when Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi, and there had all these false gods up there in the grottos. And he says, hey, guys, who do people say that I am? Oh, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're a good man, good teacher. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, hey, that's great. That wasn't revealed to you by yourself. That was revealed to you supernaturally by my Father in heaven. So there are other forces at work revealing stuff. And then later, he said, okay, now I'm going to tell you. Guys, you thought I was going to be this conquering king and take over the Romans. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be rejected by the Pharisees and the leaders. And they're going to beat me, and they're going to whip me, and they're going to nail me to a cross. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to raise from the dead. And Peter said, never, Lord. He took him aside. He said, that may never happen. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? What did he say? Get thee behind me, Satan. he realized that what he was saying, hey, don't go to the cross. You can't do that. Anything but that, Jesus. He realized there was a different influence right there. Now, he wasn't calling Peter Satan. You know what I mean? He's not like, whoop, yeah. Hey, great job, Peter. Oh, you're Satan now. No, he said, get behind me, Satan. He's just saying there's an influencer there. There's a supernatural influence that's coming from there. And so you have to realize that sometimes when some people, they'll get so mad. It's the most frustrating thing being a pastor. I had somebody even this year that came to me and had a talk with me and said they had left and the church, and they come back and they said, and I never knew why. They were just all mad and kind of one of those things. So finally, after years, they said, well, I came to church and I talked to somebody and they said all these things and I thought it was you. They didn't say who it was, but I thought it was you. And here's what it was. And they said it and I said, now, I can make a mistake sometimes, right? You can too. Let's be honest, right? You had a bad day. You said something you shouldn't have said, right? You didn't mean it. You said it. You blurted it out. I can do that too because all of us do the same thing. It's wrong, right? What'd you say? We're human. It's wrong. We need to repent. But in this case, I said, honestly, that's not my verbiage. I never even said that. That's not me. So here, these people have been so mad, seething angry with me for years. And it was just another little move of the enemy. Now, the next one, the Lord's not letting me tell you. Darn it. Just fall. Now I got to wait on that one. Yes?
Can we go back to Matthew 16 when he was talking to Peter?
Sure.
And he says, who do you?
He said, Peter, who do you say that I am?
Yes.
Is that an important question for each one of us? I mean, is there a possibility that he may ask us that question?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, he's going to ask each one of us that question. You know, if you think he's a good teacher, he taught that he was the only way to be saved. Hello? That's not a good teacher. Unless he really is who he says he is. And if he is who he says he is, then you better bend the knee. Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People are going to say all sorts of things about who Jesus is. Or isn't. But who do you say? I don't know about you. But to me, he's my Lord, my King, and my Savior. And I want to follow him till the day that I die. I want to honor and glorify him every single day. How can I honor you, Lord? Even when I mess up, how can I get it right? How can I honor you in that? That's an abundant life. Because I'm doing about my dad's business. Yes, I saw you raise your hand. Can we bring you the mic? We're going to get to this. First one. Hurry. Oh, sorry.
He'll use different tactics, like the story you just told. The enemy knows exactly what's going to get to you. And that's when people leave or people think something about you. That's your weakness.
Yes.
And he knows that that's what's going to get to you.
Absolutely.
So he used that against you.
Yes,
but
all the time.
Then he pulled that person away from here for, you know, the tactic. One incident was used in different, you know, separate ways for each person.
Absolutely. But it happens all the time. So many people, like, sometimes spiritual warfare, you know, there are some people I send out, they send me texts, I never respond. You never, and so I'm so offended. That's happened to me so many times. And then I show them on my phone, I did respond. Look. And they've been mad and hurt and angry. And I show them, look, oh, you did. I never got it. I can't tell you. I mean, literally, I even bought new phones. I even bought a new phone recently. The Galaxy, new, fancy, everything that people still don't get my responses. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. I just got to follow you. The battlefield is the mind. The battlefield is in your mind most of the time. He wants you to think things you shouldn't be thinking. Get angry, get mad, get hurt. He just wants to separate you and divide you. Okay, so listen, we gotta move on. Oh man, oh Lord, I got so much to cover.
Take your time.
Yep. Yep. We'll be back next week. There's a spiritual reality, and you see it in Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 6. In 2 Kings chapter 6, if you read it today for homework, we won't. Do you want me to read it? No. Okay. I think it was the king of Aram was mounting his forces against God's people and against the king of Israel. And so what he did was he was attacking them in all these ways with overwhelming forces. He should have beat God's people, but he never could. And he was trying to get the king. And every time Elijah the prophet would tell him, oh, hey, by the way, the king of Aram is bringing all his troops over here. He's going to attack you there. He's going to do this. So the king of Israel would just go a different direction. And he got so frustrated. He called all his generals in with him. And he said, I want you in the room with me. He said, one of you, somebody here is a traitor. I don't know who it is, but this guy knows every move I make. It's impossible. And one of them said, none of us, we're all very loyal to you, but there's a prophet of God by the name of Elijah, and he knows what you say in your very bedchamber. So he's like, wah! And so he goes to this town where Elijah the prophet is at and his servant, right? He surrounds it with his army, thousands of bloodthirsty military men with the intent of killing one person. Elijah, hello. So the servant wakes up in the morning and goes outside, right? He goes outside to, this morning my wife went outside. Would you let out the dogs? She's like, it's so beautiful outside. So fresh, so lovely. I can see that servant just going outside. Oh, it's so fresh and lovely. Good morning. Ooh, I have my cup of, I don't know what they drink. But anyway, had their cup of whatever, goat's milk. I don't know. And so he's looking out, and all of a sudden, there's an entire army, chariot, all around the whole city, surrounded, thousands of them. And he's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. He's like, he starts to panic, right? Because that's what we do. We look at the circumstances, right? And he goes back in, he's Elijah, and he hears that they're out for him. They want him, Elijah. They want him. And so they surround the city. He goes out. And he wakes him up, Elijah, and he's like, he goes out, he's like, it's okay. And he's like, what do you mean it's okay? We're dead. And the prophet said to him, hey, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And it says, Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And for a moment, the invisible was made visible. The spiritual realm, what we're reading right here, right? We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places, demonic forces, angelic forces. It said that the invisible was made visible, and then surrounding this entire army were chariots and horses of fire and angelic warriors surrounding the army, surrounding them. And then what happened was the visible was made invisible. Because Elijah struck that whole army, I don't know if you remember the story, with blindness, right? And they thought they were going into the town where he was at. And Elijah led them right to Israel, the entire army, right to the king of Israel. And his troops opened the gate, there they all are. And all of a sudden, all the troops opened their eyes and they were totally surrounded in the wrong town, right in the camp of the Israel army. And they're like, oh my gosh. And the king's like, Elijah, what do you want me to do with them? And you know what Elijah said? Slaughter them all. No, he didn't. He said, you know what? That's probably what the king wanted. He said, I want you to feed them. He said, I want you to give them food and drink and see them on their way. And they were so... what I'm saying to you is all this invisible realm that's going on, right? What was the key? He did what? Open my eyes, Lord. Open her eyes, Lord. Right? How many times have we had, what does this look like? A flesh and blood. When you come to church on Sunday, do you know for many of you how much of a battle it is, unless you're going to be coming here to snooze? It's a battle. Why is it such a fight? Why are the kids acting like complete knuckleheads today? Why is the car not working? Why am I running late? Why is the computer malfunctioning? Why is the... That Bible study, that's going to be the day where you had the longest day ever, and you're just so tired. In fact, you're abnormally tired. In fact, you're exhausted. And honestly, you deserve to sleep. You don't need to go to every Bible study. That's just legalistic, right? You can just rest. See, that's all the enemy playing in your head. Now, that might be how you're really feeling, but he'll pour on that gasoline to that flame. Just give in. If I had a dollar for the amount of times where God said, had a specific word in a sermon or Bible teaching, and it was for a particular person, a group of people, was part of what he wanted to say, and that person wasn't there, I would be a millionaire. I can almost, unless they're really strong in the Lord and focused on this kind of stuff, that's the day they don't show up. Those are the weekends that they don't. I think, oh no! Oh, you would have been able to help all these other people. He just wants to separate you. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't let him do it. Somebody's got to stand up and say, I got to take a stand. I'm not going to let him do that. In fact, if I let some fight or some exhaustion or some fear or some, I just don't want to do it. I can really justify it really well. I do a lot for you, Lord. If I don't show up if I gave in to that, I would become useless. In fact, when that happens, you know what I do? I tick him off. I turn the tables. See, all the more he comes in like that, I come back and I'm there all the more. Now, it's not always like, oh, what a godly man. Sometimes I have to wrestle it through. Do you know what I'm saying? Take those thoughts captive. Make it a beat. I have to realize this is what he's doing. Get there anyway. And most of the time, I'm blessed anyway. All right. A couple quick things. Hit the lights, would you, Chris? Spiritual warfare. How does it look like practically? It will look like... Now, I remember a guy coming to men's group, okay? And he came to men's group and he was mad. He was coming, he would sit like this. And so we would try to invite him over. And no. He'd always get mad at you for asking. Okay, well, we'd invite him anyway. I remember one time, I don't even know if Mark knows this story, but I do. And Mark was teaching that day. And so we invited him to come sit with us at our table and eat together. I just wasn't going to do it. I could tell he was mad. The enemy's working on him. I'm like, I'm just not going to ask him this time because he's going to get mad at me. He's going to say no. So we get up here and Mark sits down. He says, well, let's do something different. We're going to do something different today. Let's, instead of everybody sitting in where you normally sit, let's gather it in close. Listen, we're all in this together. Let's just all come up front together. Let's come in a little circle here. Let's just be together for a change. And let's just do this together. And I thought, oh, that's so great. And the guy didn't want to come. He didn't come up. And so Mark, he's like, hey, why don't you just come on over? Let's just come on. Come sit with us. We're all in this together. Let's just... He's like, I said no. And I thought, okay, Mark, because you know Mark's pretty bold. I said, Mark, don't push it. I'm thinking in my head. I didn't say it. I'm thinking, Lord, help Mark just to be, don't push it. And he didn't. I was really proud of him. He invited. He was loving. Wasn't a jerk about it. I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. I found out later, of course, he had left the church, and he was so mad that nobody said hi to him at all. Now, even though he was in the corner like this the whole time, nothing would tell you. And then Mark made an example of him and humiliated him in front of everybody. Now, is that what happened? Somebody came and said, this is what I'm hearing. And I said, I was there. He didn't do that at all. It was loving. It was kind. But the enemy was playing in his head.
Don't you let him do that to you. Okay. How to combat spiritual warfare. Okay. Okay. I get, apparently we're going to get to this the next time I come up here. Jonathan and Robbie are going to be teaching next week, the missionaries from China that are doing the InterVarsity College missionary. They're going to be teaching next week. But after that, we're going to go, God willing, through the full armor of God. I still have the props here. We're going to do it then. But the first thing is to put on the full armor of God. And obviously, we don't have time to talk about that today because I'm already over. But that's okay. You guys can wait a few more minutes, hopefully, respectfully. But how do I combat spiritual warfare? And it's going to be to put on the full armor of God. Every piece. You don't go to battle and forget the shield or not have a sword and think you're going to duke it out. You have to have the full armor. We'll talk about that next time I'm up here. The second thing is, how do you combat spiritual warfare when the enemy's working in your mind? Sometimes he'll just dump confusion. I remember, or anger. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember being many times, I'm in a fight with, I am so angry, and I've got nothing to be angry about. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, things are going great. It's a tiny little thing, and I'm so angry. And I'm thinking, what are you so angry for? Or somebody says, something's not right. And I'm like, ooh. And sometimes I don't notice it. Something's not right. And I'll go and I'll just pray. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a total interject right now. Or sometimes it's confusion. I can't even think straight. Or whatever it is, he'll pour it on to you. When you're in those situations, you know what? Or you feel so discouraged and so depressed. There'll be times I'm going to church, things are going great at school, at church, right? And I'm coming, I've got a great Bible study all planned. And I'll just be like, I just want to die. What? I'm like, what is that? I just want to die. Seriously? I'm thinking, what? Yeah, maybe you should just jump in your car and just drive. What? Yeah, just drive up north. Nobody's going to care anyway. They'll find another church. They'll find another school. They'll shut it down. No big deal. Your family will be okay. Your kids love the Lord. Your wife's all right. She's got friends. What? What? And I'm thinking, oh, it'd be so much more. Yeah, think about it. It'd be so much more relaxing. All that pressure would be off you. Just go. Nobody cares about you anyway. And I'm thinking, well, it's probably true. Yeah, and I think, maybe I should. Wait a minute, what am I thinking? Jump in my car? Die? What? And I'm like, man, I start praying, or I'll call somebody, ask for prayer right then. And God will intervene. And I was like, oh my gosh, taking that thought captive. There's so many different dynamics to spiritual warfare. I can count Gary whenever he has a server crash at his business. 90% of the time, it's when he's going to be teaching or counseling someone. It's almost funny to me. Would you pray for me? Our entire server crashed. I'm thinking, I'm sorry. It's not at the time, but I'm just saying, it's like predictive. Do you know what I'm saying? So when that happens, praise him. What? I mean, speak his praises. Right? The enemy wants you to curse God and die. All the way back from Genesis, right? Did God really say this to you? Just doubt his goodness. He's not really that good. He's keeping stuff from you. Yeah. He doesn't like you. He's holding back from you. He loves Adam, not really Eve. Praise him. Go back to what you know. Sing it, read it in the word, play it. It says that Satan is a prince of the power of the air. Put on worship music in your house. You're being under attack, you put on some worship. And I'm not talking, be careful that one. Worship music where the praises of the Lord are just ringing. They hate that. If the enemy's bothering you or his demonic forces are attacking you in your mind, and you start speaking the praises or reading the word or put on worship music, they don't like that. I don't like them. They don't like me. And they certainly don't like when I'm praising the Lord. So how about you just speak it?
The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 15, yeah, but I don't feel like it, Pastor Darren. I don't feel it at that point. Well, I don't feel like it either. But you know what? Go back to what you do it anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this school. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Thank him. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. You praise him. You put on that praise music. Psalm 150, you can read it for yourself, is all about just praising the Lord. Okay, let me just tell you one more story really quickly. Can I, please? And then I'll shut it down. Okay. Bye. Go to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And could you turn on that? Is it hot in here or is it just me? All that. All that and a bag of chips. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Chapter 20. It's directly after 1 Chronicles. It is. While you're turning there, the Moabites, the Amorites, and some termites, I don't know. They were all attacking God's people, the Israelites. And they were making war on King Jehoshaphat, okay? God's people, all right? And alarmed, some people came to King Jehoshaphat and said, all these armies are surrounding you. They're coming after you right now. And so King Jehoshaphat says in verse 3, he was alarmed and he inquired of the Lord, the first thing he did. And then he proclaimed a fast, and the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Again, God always wants you to be together, and the enemy always wants you to divide. We're going to talk about prayer as the next one, and it's going to be about praying and asking for prayer. We'll talk about that next time. I really don't want there to be a next, I want it to be now. But it's going to take, it would take another half hour, 45 minutes at least. Okay, anyway, back to this. It says in 2 Chronicles, so they sought the Lord. And then if you jump back down, he starts praying, okay? And then it says in verse, all the way down in verse 11, or verse 12, it says, oh God, you know, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Listen, when you don't know what to do, and the enemy's coming in strong, you don't know what to do, praise and pray. And then check this out. Verse 15, it says, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but whose? It says, tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up at the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. And verse 17 says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. Don't run away. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Then, it says in verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Jerusalem fell down and worshipped, right? What are they doing? They're praising the Lord. And then verse 19 says, some of the Levites, anyway, stood up, and it said, and they praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voices. So they're praising the Lord. And then it says in verse 20 that early in the next morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God. And God will say that to you today. And you will be upheld. Have faith in the prophets and you will be successful. And then it says in verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat did something different. He appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army. So here, ahead of this big army, it's a bunch of worshipers. Listen to what happens next. And they were singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And verse 22 is awesome. Listen to this. As they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. I say all that simply to say, the next time that you're getting your butt kicked by the enemy, you speak his praises. You give him a sacrifice of praise. You start worshiping the Lord. Put on that whatever you need in your iPod, in your phone, in your car, whatever. You sing his praises. You put it on the radio. You let it echo in your home at night, even while you're sleeping. You let those praises ring. And as you praise the Lord and those praises go forth, the enemy is taken down. I love that illustration. And that's one step. We'll go with the other bunch later. And I saw a couple hands before we close, so great if you could bring the mic right there.
I'll make it quick. This might help somebody a long time ago, because I know this comes up a lot. You don't call back or you don't answer your text or whatever.
Yeah, I will.
And this just might help somebody. Yes. You know, people, we don't realize, yes, you have us, but there are so many other people that you minister to,
yes.
Like so many more than we can ever imagine, and I can't imagine how many directions you're being pulled in. But one day, of course, I needed to call, and it's okay for us to call another
Absolutely.
Person,
yeah.
But the Lord just said, no, he'll call when I want him to call, and if you don't call me back or you don't answer the phone, then I just need to take it to the Lord. And so it just really took the power from the enemy to not get mad. He never calls me. He never answers. Yeah. He doesn't, you know. Yeah. And I get that sometimes there's an answer that we need because we have a question. But sometimes we call for spiritual, you know, wisdom or just prayer or whatever.
Sure.
But I just took that power from the enemy, and I'm not going to let him get to me. Yeah. If you answer,
yes.
then you're meant to answer. And if you don't answer, then I need to take it to God and let him, you know, deal with it and whatever. And then when the time is right, you call back.
And yes. And for whatever reason, so, if I do not call you back I will always call you back or always text you. So if I do not, then do it again, because either I didn't get the message or.
But yeah,
like
and
that.
Don't let the enemy get in
and
there
don't let
with
the
that.
Enemy get in your head. Absolutely.
You know, and then just keep us in prayer. We're going to Georgia next weekend. So
See,
just keep us in prayer.
Graduating yeah. basic.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take, oh, yes, ready? Or Sue, do you want to do, yeah.
When you were saying how, you know, you want to just run off sometimes and just
yeah.
put uh-huh. everything behind you and just uh-huh. go.
Yeah.
I actually did that. I lost my children when I first got divorced to my ex-husband because he had money. His family had money. I don't know what my mother went through when she got up that morning and she come in there and she found me in my clothes, everything gone. I was gone for a year and a half. She didn't know where I was. I had just given up. And then one day out of the blue, I walked into the store and there standing my oldest brother. I lost him in 2004 and he looked at me and I looked at him. And he told me, he said, where have you been? And I said, I don't know. He said, well, you know where you need to go, don't you? And I said, yeah, I know. I said, I know where I need to be. He said, you need to come home. The next morning at 7 o'clock, when my mother and father opened their door to come outside to go to work, my brother had me standing there on the front porch. And that changed me. It's sort of like saying, you know when you're home.
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, I went back to court. And the judge looked at me and he told me, he said, I'm rewarding your children back to you.
Thank you, Lord. I could just say this too, if I can, Betty. You know, we all, you know, if you love the Lord, He'll work all things to good, even our mess ups. Do you know what I'm saying? Even our mistakes, He'll work to good somehow. He'll work it back. But we need to come back home. We need to come to Him and run to Him. He's the like in the prodigal son. It's actually the father. It says that he ran to the kid who turned around. He ran. Father didn't do that. A good Jewish man wouldn't have done that. It was too upstanding. And he embraced his son. Killed the fatted calf. Let's have a party. He's home. And so that's what God will do to each one of us as we run home to Him. He rejoices. And so, but when those thoughts are going through your head, you remember, hey, the Bible says to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And we'll talk more about that next time I get up here. It's on the list for me to things to talk about. I just didn't get to it. But you don't go with your feelings or what you think. You go with what God says in God's word. And you will always be safe. You'll be like a tree planted by streams of water that will yield its fruit in season. It won't wither. It won't die. It will bear fruit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we just want to say thank you for every person here, Lord God. Lord, first, I'm a little selfish prayer. Help me not to beat myself up for not getting to the rest of the stuff like I wanted to do, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless each person here. Maybe there's somebody here today, Lord, who's going through a struggle in their minds or in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help them to turn to you or to turn to a good Christian that they trust and say, this is what I'm going through. And that that Christian would bring them what the word says, Lord, in love and in truth, Lord God. I pray that we would praise you, Lord, whenever we run into these problems, Lord, that each person here, you would bring it to our mind, Lord God, to praise you, Lord God, as we're going through these times, Lord, together, Lord, and to remember we're not alone, to not let the enemy divide us, Lord God, from you or from Christians around us who genuinely love us. We pray for your blessing on each person here and each family, Lord, with a heart that would just want to please you, not worried about being happy is their main goal, but worried about making you happy as their main goal, Lord God. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, if anyone's going through any sort of spiritual warfare, that they will tell somebody here and that we can pray for them even right now. So bless this congregation, Lord. Thank you so much for every person that comes here, Lord God. And do not let the enemy play in their minds and take the distraction and the attention off of you. In Jesus Christ's name alone. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.